Turn to Daniel chapter 1, if we could, please. We're going to look at verse 8, if you would, please. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord, the king, who has appointed your meat and your drink. Why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. And then Daniel said to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove your servants, I beseech you, 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before you, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as you see, deal with your servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and he tested or he proved them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and give themselves vegetables. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. You may want to circle that little word skill. I never noticed it before in all the years I've been studying or reading or teaching Daniel, but it dawned on me why it's there. You could have all the wisdom, understanding, knowledge in the world, but if you don't have the skill to exercise it, it does us no good. We just have rote memory. So he gave him the skill to do it all. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all of his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Let us pray. Lord, we humbly come before your throne and we ask that your Holy Spirit would just lead us and guide us into the truth of what we just read. We pray, Father, for your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding to fill everyone's hearts today. And then we pray for the skill to exercise this understanding and knowledge and wisdom. Father, you have taught through St. Paul that to every man has been given a measure of faith. So every person that's here right now, God, has the ability to have faith, some measure of it. And I pray today that you would cause it to increase in all their lives. May we all continue to learn lessons of your faithfulness at whatever age we are, that we'd never stop learning like Daniel didn't. In your name we pray. Amen. This message is called 6 Ways, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 Ways to remain faithful. The utmost of being faithful, of course, is your relationship with God. I think that if we're not faithful with God, there's no way we could be faithful to anything else or anyone else. So there's 6 points I'd like to get across to you, and you can write them down on the palm of your hand or your bulletin, or if you have a little notepad, or even next to the scriptures if you'd like. 6 ways to remain faithful. Very simple that we learn from this story. Now, you know this story. Daniel was taken captive, probably as a teenager, and around 17 years old, most believe. He and his 3 friends, who have their names changed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that ultimately those 3 are thrown into a fiery furnace, we'll see in a couple of weeks, and Jesus comes into the fire and delivers them. But they were taken because of their intellect. And these young men loved God and would not defile themselves. Leviticus is a book of laws for the Jewish people. And in much of the law was a hygienic law, not a religious law, but a hygienic law. God named some creatures that you shouldn't eat, not because it was religious, but because it's not good for your digestive system. It's not good for parts of your body. Shrimp, lobsters, crabs, things like that from the sea. He names out the animals that have hoofs on them, and they shouldn't eat him. So when these young guys are taken captive, the most powerful man in history at that time, King Nebuchadnezzar, had this quote-unquote stable of brilliant minds, and he wanted a three-year education process for them and teach them the Chaldean language, which is Iraq, present-day Iraq. Babylon is right there where our troops are today. And he wanted them to be able to give him wisdom. So this is very important. Daniel said, no, I won't do it. He's going to be faithful to that hygienic law. Now, the way that he said he wasn't going to do it was very tactful and respectful of the prince of the eunuchs. And he worried. He said, you know, the king will chop my head off if I don't treat you all the same. Why would you want to just eat vegetables and drink water? And then at the end of the 10 days, I take you to the king and you look horrible compared to the rest of the people. He said, no, just trust me. Let us do this. And at the end of the 10 days, if it doesn't go the way we think and you're upset with us, do what you will with us. And he gave him the 10 days. And then this is where we picked up. He purposed in his heart. Ends up that they're 10 times smarter than anybody else. And it may not be just the food, but it's God's anointing on them. But they don't have wine and alcohol for 10 days flowing through their brain cells or their mind. They don't have food that bloats them. They don't have the chocolatey eclairs and the ice cream and all the fatty stuff. It's a great diet. If you've never done it and you want to just lose 10 pounds in a week, you will. Drink water and eat nothing but vegetables. And that's what he did. His skin looked better than all the other people because they had all the sugar inside of them and the things that needed to be detoxed. And he basically went through a detox. And God honored this in his life. So I'd like you to turn, as you know this story, to Isaiah, which is just before Ezekiel, which is right next to Daniel. And I'd like you to look at the 42nd chapter of Isaiah for just a moment. And then I'd like to give you three short verses that build the platform as we'll start moving through stories in Daniel. And then the second half of the book, chapter 7 through 12, will be about the end times and what God has laid out. Look at the 42nd chapter, verse 1. Behold my servant of Isaiah. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth, speaking of his only begotten Son, Jesus. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord. Now this is God the Lord speaking, and listen to what he has to say right here. He that created the heavens, stretched them out that he might spread forth the earth and that which comes out of it. He that gives breath unto the people upon it, you and me, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and I will hold your hand, and I'll keep you, and I'll give you for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, and neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. That's Daniel. He tells things that spring forth. But look how powerful God is. He wants you to know, when you looked out and saw a clear sky over San Diego last night and saw those stars, he's the one that stretched the universe out. He's your God. He's your creator. He's your father. He's your friend. And he wants to communicate with you. So let's just do a quick hop through three simple verses. John chapter 14, if you would, in the Gospel of John. And you can understand Daniel's heart a little better. Look at verse 14 of the Gospel of St. John, verse 14. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you don't love him, you don't keep him. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know the Holy Spirit, for he dwells with you, and he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. What a promise. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I'll manifest myself to him. Wow, that sort of defines what a real Christian is. And Daniel is a man that not only loves the Lord, but he keeps his commandments. And this is the key to faithfulness. So we want to look at six ways for us to remain faithful. Now, go to Ezekiel and look at the 14th chapter. And look at verse 12 of Ezekiel 14. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sins against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and I'll break the staff of the bread thereof, and I'll send famine upon it, and I'll cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. Noah, Daniel, and Job. Their wives and family wouldn't. They'd only deliver themselves by the righteousness that they had in the Lord. Daniel is looked at in this crowd of three as one of the most righteous men in the world in God's eyes. Now, we have no righteousness in us. There dwells no good thing within us, Paul the Apostle said. But we do have the righteousness of Jesus Christ that stands us in right standing before God. Now, let's look at this final verse in Daniel chapter 9. And then we'll proceed. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books. He wanted to know what God's commandments were. I understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. So I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. He admits by reading Jeremiah, prophecy was released to him. So that's our foundation. This guy's a righteous man that loves the word of God, and he loves God. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Point number one. Daniel, verse 8, purposed. He purposed in his heart. Thank you. I love it. Pentecostal kid. He purposed in his heart. And to be faithful, we must purpose in our hearts to the Lord God Almighty. And today may be the day that you would say, I purpose to you, Lord, that I am going to be faithful to your commandments. So therefore, I am going to read your commandments and get to know you through the word of God. Now, you can go on our website, and there's an outline of how you can read through the Bible in 1 year. Or you can do that, or you can sign up and get my morning devotion that goes out very early every morning to your phone or your computer. And at the bottom of that is an outline of Old and New Testament that you can read and go through the year. Some people do those after they read the devotion, take you 3 minutes for the devotion, and they read those scriptures two or three times, and they go through the Bible two or three times by December 31st. So it's free. There's nobody hitting you up for anything if you want the daily devotion. But you must be purposed in your heart to show your love to the Lord Jesus that you are going to be a person of the Word. Often, you can be sure that big or great offers will come to us. The minute you purpose that you're going to be a righteous woman or a righteous man, you better believe the devil's going to try to outbid your purposed heart. And you're going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted big time. I was thinking of the first time in many years of this. I remember when we started, and I was at Balboa Park, and we went there with 75 people out of a Point Loma home, and it went from 10 to 75, and we got this room at the House Hospitality. And within probably five months, it grew to 500 people, and people standing and sitting on the floor in a packed room. And one day, I was driving 200 miles back and forth from Orange County, and I was invited to come to a very upscale neighborhood and to meet with some people from a church that they said that they were coming to these meetings that we were having in Balboa Park when we started. So I sat there and they fed me lunch and it was very enjoyable and we sang some songs. And then they laid out what they wanted. And what they were doing was offering me a job. Now I was getting about $100 a week and they offered me $35,000 a year. Which in 1974, a huge amount of money. It's a good size of money today. Not only that, they would give us in this exclusive neighborhood our own three-bedroom house that would be totally paid for, that they owned, the church owned. I'd live there for free. I'd have an expense account, and I'd have a car to drive and $3,000 a month. Now, when you're getting $450 a month, boy, that sounded great. I said, wow, how nice are these people? They said, well, we're over there at the park, and our youth group is there on Monday nights, and you've got a lot of people there. And I said, yeah, it's amazing what's going on. And then came the hook. If you accept our offer, we would like you to shut down your Monday night and bring all those kids to our church. And I said, oh, well, pray about that. I knew I'd have the answer the minute I touched the doorknob and was out the door. But I often think how comfortable that would have been for Sandy and our children. And how boxed in I would have been. But boy, we would have had a comfy job as a minister. But instead, the Lord said, no, I'm doing something with you. You need to purpose in your heart that you're going to be obedient to me. And I don't know that we'd be here today had the Lord not spoken to me and showed me what he wanted. Offers will come to you of all kinds. I remember a television producer came one time and said, you know, we'd like to put you on television. I said, why? He said, well, you surf, you're young, you got this huge crowd of people coming to hear you speak, and here's what you do. I said, what kind of a show? They said, well, you'd be on a surfboard, and then Flipper would be in the show. Flipper? Yeah, Flipper would be jumping up and around. You'd be really happy and lots of music. And then you'd see some guys and girls out there in their bikinis and their surfer trunks getting ready to catch a wave. And you'd paddle out real quickly and, hey, guys, how you doing? And Flipper would jump and entertain them for a minute. And then you'd reach under your board and pull out your waterproof Bible. I said, my waterproof Bible? Yeah, and then you'd give them a little Bible study. We think it would be great. It'd really reach the younger crowd. I said, really? I don't know. What would you call it? He said, well, of course, we'd call it the porpoise-driven life. So I didn't do that one either. The offers come. Some of you, I can tell, don't read, so you wouldn't know what I was saying there. But number one, to remain faithful, you must purpose in your heart. Now, being faithful with your family, your employer, the military, your education, your disciplines, it starts with you purposing in your heart that that's what you're going to do. Then, point number two, he proclaimed it. He proclaimed what he purposed. Here's what we're going to do. And if you will trust me, he tells that man, I know that God will be honored. So you must not be afraid to tell people that you stand for righteousness, that you will actually represent the Lord the best that you can. Now, people say, why do I trip and stumble? And why do I find myself doing quote-unquote, dirty things or bad things, and always feeling so guilty? Well, turn with me to the New Testament. We'll come right back here to this chapter of Daniel. But go to James chapter 1, verse 12. James 1, 12. And if you're new to the Bible, James is way over on your right side, almost to the end. It's a small little New Testament letter of five chapters. But we just want to point out James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, and some of you are in the middle of trying right now, in trials, and it's your character and your heart that God is allowing these trials to happen. It's all about your character. and your relationship with him, will you trust him? Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Now remember what Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So man, if you're not in the word, this speaks to you. But every man is tempted. Now here's what happens to you if you get drunk or you're having sex with your girlfriend or your boyfriend or you're doing something wrong. Here's the sequence of events that the devil uses against you. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted, number one, when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed or lured. Then, number two, when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. Number three, and sin, when it is finished, you're through with this situation, sin brings forth death. So ultimately, it'll kill you, but for right now, in the short term, it has killed your relationship with Jesus. Sin will kill you. So this is how it happens. The same way as 1 John tells us that happened to Eve in the garden when the devil got her. John says it's the lust of the eyes, the lust of your flesh, and the pride of life that causes you to sin. Here's how it worked out with the first woman on the planet and the first man. Eve, when the devil talked to her, saw, lust of the eyes, that the fruit was pleasant, lust of the flesh, it's going to taste good, and that it would make her wise, the pride of life. There you are, right there. You start looking, and then you start falling, and you don't know why. It's the same rhythm over and over again. If you get the lust out of your life, and you filter your eyes, and you know the commandments of the Lord, the commandments come up and shield your mind with the helmet of salvation, and you know what's right and what's wrong, and you have the strength because you've purposed in your heart, and you're not afraid to proclaim. Even though you proclaim it, other people may not listen. How many times have you talked to somebody at Thanksgiving dinner, at your own home maybe, or your parents' home, and you're trying to tell them how excited you are about God and how much you love him, and this friend of yours was just healed, and Jesus is coming back, and I learned this in the Proverbs, or you're sharing something, they just don't hear it. It was like the lawyer, the doctor, and the pastor that all went hunting one year, and they saw this huge elk come out of the forest, all three of them. And at the same precise moment, all three, the lawyer, the doctor, and the pastor, pulled their triggers of their high-powered rifles, and the elk went down. Well, when they ran over there, the doctor said, hey, this is mine. My shot got him. You guys missed. The doctor says, no. The lawyer says, it's mine. And the pastor says, no, I got him. At that same moment, a game warden comes walking up. And they said, we've got our licenses here, but we got a problem. What is it? Well, we all fired at the same time, and we're all claiming that this elk is ours. But I tell you what, warden, the lawyer says, if you will settle it for us, we'll all three agree that we'll do whatever you say and give the elk to whoever you say shot it. Not thinking that he had figured this out. The warden walks over and he walks around the elk and he looks all around and comes back and says, well, I know whose elk this is. And they said, whose? And he says, it's the pastor's. Why? Because it was one bullet, went in one ear and came out the other. Now, maybe that's how you are when God is speaking to you. Just comes in one ear and out the other. And, oh, yeah, all right. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But don't be afraid to tell people what you believe in. And don't be afraid to purpose in your heart that you're going to let go of your life. I know it's difficult to let go of your life. But when you do, it's a miracle thing when your eyes open up and you see the world around you that's not seen with human eyes. The third point is Daniel planned. That's right. You purpose in your heart and you get it settled. I'm going to be a righteous person. I'm going to be faithful on my job. I'm going to be faithful in my home. I'm going to be faithful in my children and my spouse. I'm going to be faithful in the military. And I'm going to be definitely faithful to God. And I am setting these disciplines up. And God is going to be honored in my life. And I will proclaim that. But what did he plan? He planned a 10-day period where only water, no wine, and only vegetables would go into his digestive tract, and that he would look better and feel better. Now, let me show you a simple little verse. It's in 3 John, not the Gospel of John, but go all the way back to the book of Revelation and back up about a book. It's one page long called Jude. And then there's these 3 letters that John, the apostle, wrote, and they numbered them 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. 3 John is only a total of 14 verses. I just want to point out a couple of those verses to you. John, an elderly man about 90 years old, is writing to a Christian friend, and look how he opens this letter up. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, no, circle this. I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, even as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. If you love me, Jesus said, you'll keep my truth, you'll keep my commandments. And you'll be in me and I'll be in you, and the Father's love will be poured out on you. Now, this man, this Christian man, Gaius, was strong spiritually but had some physical ailment. And John says, I pray that your body, your health, will be as strong as your soul. Now, in Paul's letter, he wrote and said that may your whole body, soul, and spirit be blessed. Many of you in this room are 3-dimensional beings, and many of you are 2-dimensional beings. Except a man be born again, the 3rd dimension, there is no way you can enter into heaven. There are people that say, I'm a Christian, but they've never been born again. They're not going to heaven. So the more you feast on the Word of God, the more that spirit gets fed. But until that happens in your life, everything in this world is designed for your body and your soul. Everything. Your eyes will lust after it, and your body is told, go to that store and buy it, or go talk to that person. Your soul will lure your body will lure your soul. But when you are born again, and by faith you ask God to forgive you of your sins, and you accept his Son, Jesus Christ, as the sacrifice on the cross for your sins, you ignite and your spirit comes to life. That's the second birth. The first birth was when you were born of your mother. But the second birth is that 3rd dimension that some of you are missing that you need to have opened up today so that you'll go to heaven. So you purpose in your heart, you proclaim it, and you plan. His plan was 10 days, water and vegetables. A lot of us have a plan of comfort food. And this is what these other people had. Comfort food, the king's food, luxurious food, rich sauces, big slabs of beef, things that weight you down, lots of bread and grain, sugar, and lots of wine. And this just bloated them and made them feel yucky. But after 10 days, the other guys, their bodies were detoxed, they were cleansed, they were feeling great, and God was going to use this discipline that they planned. So purpose in your heart, proclaim with your mouth, and get a good plan going. The 4th point is, as that Daniel performed it. Now, performing to do good is one thing, but saying that you're going to do it and not do it is another thing. Let me show you that you're in good company in Romans chapter 5, verse 15. St. Paul struggled with this, and I say, wow, if he went through this, then I'm not all alone, and this can be something we can grow out of. And it's a struggle that we have. Look at verse 15 of chapter 7. For that which I do, I allow it not. Otherwise, he says, I will never smoke, but he finds himself smoking. What I would that I do, I not. But what I hate, that's what I do. Okay, I'm going to stop drinking. And then you catch yourself drinking, he's saying. The things that I say I'm not going to do are exactly what I find that I'm doing. And he's really frustrated by this. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me. I want to lose the weight. I want to be a good person. I don't want to cuss anymore. The will to do is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. You ever felt like that? How do I do this? Well, Daniel shows us. You purpose in your heart. You proclaim what you're going to do. You lay out a plan and then you perform it with the help of the Lord. Now if I do the things that I would not, it is no more I that does it, but sin that dwells in me. So I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. That's right. Evil is always around us trying to destroy us. And many times people will say, well, I don't need the Bible and I don't need anything that Daniel was doing. But you just saw he's one of the most righteous men that God, who stretched out the heavens and the earth and put the spirit inside of you and has breath going in and out of your lungs. He says that Daniel is one righteous dude. Only three could be named that would make it through the trouble that was going to come. But many people, we were told, they aren't really interested in what God really wants. They want what they want. And so they choose the preachers they want. Now, here's a little list in Bible times of a church that was looking for a new pastor. And it's much like today. And the head of the elders wrote a letter and said, "Dear members, we do not have a happy report as we have not been able to find a suitable candidate for pastor of our church thus far. We do, however, have one prominent prospect. The following is our confidential report on the candidates. The first man we interviewed, Adam, a good man, but he has problems with his wife. Second one was Noah, a former pastorate of 120 years with no converts. He's prone to unrealistic building projects. Joseph, a big thinker but a braggart, interprets dreams, and he also has a prison record. Moses, modest and meek but a poor communicator, he even stutters at times. Sometimes he blows his stack and acts rashly in business meetings. David, the most promising candidate of all, until we discovered the affair he had with a neighbor's wife. Solomon, a great preacher, but serious woman problems. Elijah, he was prone to depression and collapses under pressure. Jonah, he told us he was swallowed by a huge fish. He said the fish later spit him out on the shore near here. We hung up. Amos, a little backward and really unpolished, with some seminary training he might have promise, but he has a problem with wealthy people. John says he's a Baptist, but he sure doesn't dress like one. He sleeps in the outdoors, has a weird diet, and provokes denominational leaders. Paul, a powerful CEO type and fascinating preacher, but he's short on tact, unforgiving with young ministers, harsh, and has been known to preach all night. Timothy, too young. There is this promising one, though, Judas. His references are solid, a steady plotter. He's conservative, great connections. He knows how to handle money. We're inviting him to preach this Sunday with great hopes that he will accept our offer. Well, that's not what we want once you planned. We want it proved, point number five. You've got to prove, and he proved it by doing it. Now, there is a scripture you all know that says we must prove what is that good and perfect will of God. If you will turn with me before we go home to 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter, you will see what God says to young ministers. And 1 and 2 Timothy and the letter to Titus are called the pastoral epistles. It's amazing that some seminaries train ministers and never open the Bible or go to the pastoral epistles to help a pastor. But these are the things that I grew up on from my pastor. And I want you to look at this. Here's the premise. I've been here almost 36 years, and never in one of those years have I ever heard this, but I've heard it in person, in email, and in phone calls, that we are leaving the church because you're talking too much about end times. It's depressing, it's sad, and we want a happier message. I'm serious. People have left the church. So I stop and I think of that. When you teach through the Bible, you end up at all different subject matters, but it would be so easy to leave the ones out that people don't like so that you can build a bigger crowd. Jesus was never looking for bigger crowds, and he's not today. He just wants us to go through the word. Here's my commandment from the Lord. Look at verse 1, 2 Timothy 4. I charge you therefore before God. This is pretty serious. Lord, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Here's what the minister's to do. Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season, late at night, whenever anybody calls on you. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time, which is now, will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Man, that's scary. They won't endure the sound doctrine of the Bible. Subject matters, and they want anything but the whole counsel. They want a series or something other than expository so you could learn the Bible. They want what they want to hear. And I can guarantee you this. There are enough guys out there that are building big ministries that will sell you their sermon notes. And they do. And many pastors go to the internet and buy these sermon notes. And then go to church on Sunday and hand them out to you, and they preach their outline. Because they're too lazy and they're undisciplined to study themselves. Or maybe they don't even have a relationship with God that God can speak to them and show them how to teach you. You see, here's the wonderful thing. The church belongs to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The minister is only responsible for what's in front of him. And all I need to do is pray and say, you know all these people, Lord. I don't. What do they need? How can I help them? So he mixes up the meal for you. He gives you a piece of toast and some scrambled eggs and a couple pieces of bacon and a cup of coffee and a glass of water and a banana and a cheeseburger and a bowl of chili, and you're just getting started in your breakfast. And some people just want to go down, you know, the line and say, well, I don't want Bible prophecy or into the world, but I would sure like prosperity. I want prosperity. I want scratch my back and make me feel good. I want whoo-hoo-hoo instead of whoa. You see, this was the sin in Daniel's time. The people would not listen to the ones that were sent to him. So God let the world take him. So when you go through the Bible reading it by yourself, you go through Joseph's life and Abram and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob, and you go through Elijah and Elisha, and you go through David. You go through the whole picture and you see beginning to the end that there is going to be an end. And Daniel's a guy that says, look through my spectacles and you will see that you're probably living in these end times. Now, what a thrilling time to live in that God would tell us. Preach the word, be instant. There is times they'll heap to themselves teachers, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But you watch in all things and endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Full proof of your ministry. Full proof. So that's point number 5. To remain faithful, he proved what he said he was going to do, and he did it. When you stand up for the Lord, the trials and afflictions and tribulations will come. And when it's all over with, you're still standing. You're going to say, wow, the Lord has proven himself faithful to me. Wow, I can trust God. Whoa, he is Isaiah 42, alive. And he did put the breath of life and the spirit in me. I'm a human. I'm created. This isn't an accident. And you've given me this instruction book so I can understand how to live. It makes life so exciting, and it gives you the purpose you need. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 3, it says, for if a man think of himself to be something, when in actuality he is really nothing, this man deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. You see, here's the cool thing about Daniel. He is going to be Darius of the Medes, Iran, Persian, one of the great world powerhouses. And Nebuchadnezzar, he's going to be the number one guy advising these kings. But if you're a boss and you're watching your employees and a little trouble comes their way and they faint, are you going to give them a raise? Are you going to give them more responsibility? No. If you're a boss and something foul is amiss among some of your employees, but there's one employee that stands up for righteousness, even though you may not believe exactly as that righteous person believes, but you see a quality in this person, this Daniel, that, man, this woman She's a religious person. She's a born-againer. She's a Christian. But she's quoting these scriptures, and she's living according to a higher power. I can trust this woman. You know, Daniel said, he doesn't know that my prince of the eunuchs came to me and said, I don't want my head chopped off, but these four Jewish boys, they're not going to eat your food and drink your wine. They want vegetable and water. I didn't do it, please. Nebuchadnezzar says, let's just watch them. Give them 10 days. Then we'll take care of them. Now imagine you're the king, and you've got everybody scratching your back and patting you and trying to be close to you so they can get the free food, the free gold, and all the wine they want. And they're leeches. Some of you have people around you like that. But there's this group of four that say, we have a God in heaven who's alive, and we love him, and we are going to remain faithful to him. We purpose in our heart that we will remain faithful. We proclaim that this is true. Here's our plan, and we want you to know that you can prove it. And so the sixth point is, he proceeded. You must go forward in your lives, even if you lost your house, ladies and gentlemen. You must go forward in your life, even if it's painful and comfortable to you today. You can never rest on your laurels. You cannot live in the past. You are getting older, and people are moving out of your life, and things are not going the way you want. But you remain faithful. You remain faithful. Jesus said, let your yes mean yes, and let your no mean no. Remain faithful. This is between you and your Creator. You are faithful to him. You purpose in your heart, I love you, God, the one who stretched out the heavens so that the earth could be here. You proceed on what God has put in front of you. And in Isaiah 42, he said, behold, the past is behind you today, and from this day on, I'm going to do a new thing with you. Shall I not tell you about it? Some of you have come through the worst storms of your life. And God is encouraging you this morning that he's got some good things for you. This was all about your relationship with him. It wasn't about the mortgage company. It wasn't about your ex-spouse. It wasn't about the court order. It wasn't about your health. It was about God testing you, not tempting you, to show you how much you need him. And all of us that are watching you say, oh, that person I could always trust. Did you see what she went through and how she was treated? She really loves God, and she stood up for God in the midst of this. Yes, you proceed forward with what is new. Go forward. Our bodies can join a retirement community and retire, but our spirits never retire. I remember talking to my grandma. I'd just become a Christian. I caused my grandmother so much heartache. She prayed for me like, yeesh. And I remember the day I called her. I was 26 years old. Grandma, what? You're in trouble? No, I'm born again. You're what? I gave my heart to Jesus, and it's great. I love him. I'm reading the Bible every day. You're kidding me. My prayers are answered. Yes. And then the next thing she said to me, Michael, I'm kind of concerned. She lived by the University of Oregon in Eugene. And it still is a fairly left-leaning liberal university. And she said, Michael, can hippies really get saved? I said, yeah, Grandma, hippies can really get saved. Well, I've been reading about that. Well, you need to proceed forward with the new life God has given you. You need to watch out for the temptations that are going to come. The minute, you know what, girls? The minute you say yes to Jesus and you're going to be faithful to him, that guy that you had the hots for, he's going to call you up. You better believe it. You guys that had a chance to just skirt the issue a little bit and make some more money on the side without anybody knowing, and you back away and say, no, I'm going to live for God. You better believe on the other side, a bigger offer is going to come for you to be dishonest. And you can justify it. You have all this debt you got to clear up. Everybody else, there's the famous one. Everybody else is doing it. Not you, not Daniel's. So in conclusion, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, Paul the Apostle said, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, and prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. Now today, Daniel is showing us, examine ourselves. We don't need anybody else to do it. Where are you with God today? Will you purpose in your heart that you're going to live for God and then not be ashamed of it? Will you do that? Will you lay out your discipline that you never had before of how to know his commandments? And there's simply just two major things that the people of Israel did that was wrong. Let us not make the same two mistakes that these people made that allowed the Babylonians to come out of Iraq and take them prisoner, ruin their economy, and destroy them for 70 years. According to Jeremiah, Daniel understood, you people are going to be captives for 70 years and never even have a home to go to. What were those two mistakes that they made that you and I could make? The number one mistake is they left God's word. Jesus said, if you love me, continue in my commandments. If you are truly my disciple, indeed, continue in my word. If you love him, you're a person of the book because you love him. And it's through the book that the Holy Ghost teaches us. No, Israel left God's word. And remember what the ministers are commanded to do in 2 Timothy. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Don't ever leave God's word. Don't ever leave the word of God. The second mistake that we do not want to make, and the wrong that they did, was they did not listen to the prophets that were sent to them. Remember what Paul taught that young minister, Tim. For the time will come when they will not endure, last through it, doctrine, sound doctrine. But after their own lust, it's all about me, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be deceived into fables. That breaks my heart. You know, I've counseled people for many, many years, and I know in even my own life, some people just don't want to get better, nor do they want to listen. They lay out their whole story, and you start saying, well, over here, the Bible says da-da-da-da, and you try to help them out and snip it loose and get them untangled. Oh, no, 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 no. And maybe you're like that. In one ear, out the other. But there is a God. He stretched out the heavens with his hands. He breathed life into you. He is such a gentleman. He will never force you to believe in him, to listen to him, or to love him. He loves you so much, he's put all of that power into your hands of what you will do with eternity. But this God that stretched the 20 billion light years wide heaven so that the earth would have a place to rotate around a star and let life be on it, this God, according to the book of Romans, was in Christ Jesus on the cross, reconciling the world to himself. And this God, through his Son, cried out to heaven and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Are you willing to roll the dice on eternity over lust, over pride, or the joys of this world that are so vain and empty? That's all God's doing. He lays it out for you in the word. And wisdom and knowledge and understanding come into you as you read the Holy Scriptures. And then what happens? He gives you the skill to make it all work. You're not going to be perfect in this body, so you don't have to be church lady or Mr. Goody Two Shoes. You live your life and let the Spirit feed you and you bless others. Greater love has no man than this. He lays his life down, not necessarily dies. He lays his life down for others. If you think you're a loving person and you're stingy, you're not loving. If you keep his commandments, you're a loving person and he's really loving you. Shall we stand and shall we pray? Dear God, it is so hard to be a faithful person. And yet we look at this teenager and he lays out his life. And just by looking at him, we can see these points of how we can be faithful. We have no clue what what the people in front of us or beside us or behind us are going through in this big auditorium or on the internet. We have no clue. And it's easy for us to insulate ourselves, Lord, and not feel pain or hurt. But Father, if we can't be faithful to you and our commitment, we need to be really honest with ourselves that we're not faithful in other areas of our life. We're choosing and picking like a smorgasbord. Would you help us remain faithful? Give us the plan. Let us proclaim it. Prove it in us, Lord. Let us move forward and proceed with what you have for us. Would you bless these women today, Lord, with all the pressures upon women, the role models, the issues? Man, they're beat up left and right, old and young alike. And yet you made woman to be a special creature that would give birth to others made in your likeness and image. What an honor. Lord, if women weren't here to have those babies, your Savior couldn't have been birthed, and we would be lost to hell this very hour. Bless these women, the young and the old and the middle-aged. Let them honor you for the honor you have given them. And these men, you have made men to be strong and warriors. Lord, strengthen these men. They'd get their plan together. They would proclaim it. They'd be proved. They'd proceed forward with a new life with open doors. They had purpose in their hearts this hour. God, I'm your guy. God, I'm your son. God, I'm your man. Please help me be faithful to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.